Well, Shabbat Shalom. Confession. It's one of those words that when said, I think conjures all sorts of mental images. Perhaps you think of a nervous person in a tiny room separated from a priest, or maybe a criminal being interrogated by detectives, or maybe I just watched too many crime procedurals. I love those shows. Confession is one of those topics that I think can get taken for granted that everyone is on the same page about. It's one of those words we use and just assume everybody knows what it means. That we all understand what confession is, why we are to do it, and how to confess rightly. But when you bring it up in a discussion, it's quickly revealed that there is a whole lot of confusion and even misinformation on this crucial part of every disciple's life. So what are some of the ways people think about confession in God's community? Well, one viewpoint is to state that, well, we need to confess our sins. Maybe I say it very loudly, I hit my hand on the podium, and we read some prayers or talk about it a little tiny bit, and we just sort of assume everybody knows what that means, that you know how to confess. All you need to be is reminded to do so. Another viewpoint is to say that confession is not necessary or essential because Messiah Yeshua has forgiven us all our sins. Why do I need to confess my sins? They're forgiven. Now, this second view is usually caused by a bad understanding of the difference between being made right or justified before the Lord versus growing in holiness or sanctification, if you want to use the $5 word. Now, finally, we have the viewpoint that confession is a dirty word, that we just need to focus on the love of God, but how God loves us so much to keep our sins to ourselves and never admit that we fall incredibly short of God's standard for how we are to live. We just sweep it under the rug, no matter how big the pile is under that rug after a few years or decades. I can't admit that I'm not perfect because everybody else is saying they're perfect, and I can't be the odd man out or the odd lady out. Now, outside of God's community, we find that this last approach is actually the most popular. We live in a world that tells us to minimize our failures and loudly broadcast any successes. I think that's like the secret to social media. Everyone wants to be an influencer. You put all the good stuff, maybe making some of that good stuff up there, but anything negative, you hide away. And that's why people get depressed when they go on Facebook or Instagram, is you're comparing your life to somebody else's highlight reel that may be a product of fantasy. You know, this is an aside. I remember reading years ago that there's like a whole cottage industry of where you can go and like get on a private jet and take pictures in it to pretend you're on a private jet to post on your Instagram, you know, and all sorts of other things where you could go there and take little pictures to pretend that you're doing something. You know, there's always a great way to make money off of people's pride and sin, man. Just saying it like it is. But this is kind of how our society operates, that we really aren't that bad, that things are good, that the idea of sin is outdated. It's an outdated way of thinking. It just keeps people controlled and scared. And when you're truly enlightened, you can see beyond good and evil, to quote Nietzsche, and understand that everything is subjective. Truth doesn't really exist. And you need to become the leader of your own glorious destiny. You need to manifest that into the universe. And we can see how well that is working out today in our society. The truth is that confession, specifically confessing our sins in prayer to Adonai, and that's our focus today, is a crucial part of every believer's life. Now, our sins have been atoned for by Messiah Yeshua on the cross. But that does not mean we will be sinless in this life. Our walk with God is a lifelong journey filled with mountaintops of successes and valleys of failure. Those who have placed their faith in the Lord through Messiah Yeshua have been washed clean. However, we still in this life will deal with sin and deal with the effects of sin as well. So confession is a fundamental way we deal with these life entanglements. But there are wrong ways to confess our sins. One way is if we are hiding away parts of ourselves from the Lord. I'm willing to confess some of my sins, but not all of them. Now this morning, we're going to examine Psalm 32. And if you have a Bible, please turn with me there. I'll be reading from the NIV this morning. It's a psalm of King David that gives us instruction on how to confess our sins and what really confession looks like in the life of someone who belongs to the Lord. The heart of Psalm 32, its lesson for us is this. Hiding our sins will bring us pain and suffering. Confessing our sins to Adonai will bring us blessing, protection, and real joy. We begin with the title for our psalm of David, a Maskil. King David is our author through the Holy Spirit for this psalm. But you may be asking yourself, what's a Maskil? A Maskil is connected to the word sakal in Hebrew. And this word means to be wise. Now, in the Greek translation of the Psalms, the word used here means instruction. So this is a psalm of David to teach us how to be wise. It's wisdom literature, much like Proverbs in a sense. So in this case, it's to teach us how forgiveness is found in confession. And he begins this by declaring the joy found in forgiveness. Verse 1. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. If you like to highlight your Bible, that word covered is an important word here in this psalm. Verse 2. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. These verses teach us a fundamental and objective truth on what it means to be human. The truth is, wonderful blessings are found in having your sins and your transgressions forgiven. And so it's fitting that this is the starting point for this psalm, because we will see these truths in practice throughout the rest of the text. So from just these two verses, we can find several specific facts about our lives. First, sins and transgressions exist and they need to be forgiven. So somebody write that to Nietzsche. Two, blessing comes from sins and transgressions being forgiven. Three, blessing comes from the Lord not counting our sin against us. And four, we must not be deceitful in our words and actions. Now, many faiths and philosophies will admit that sin of some kind exists and that even it needs to be dealt with. But the methods proposed for dealing with our sins varies wildly. Psalm 32 and all of God's word makes it clear that forgiveness is found only in the Lord. We do not cover or remove our own sins. It is something that God does himself. That's part of the fundamental difference of our faith compared to other faiths. In King David's day, this forgiveness was demonstrated through the sacrificial system. A person would acknowledge their sin and receive a temporary covering through the death of an innocent animal. And this was from the Lord's command, that only through the blood can there be forgiveness of sins. We read that in Leviticus and elsewhere. So it makes sense that there is a blessing in having a sin covered. But this was a temporary covering, pointing to someone greater, because these sacrifices had to be performed repeatedly for every sin, day after day, year after year, century after century. The blessing from forgiveness described in verse 2 is also more than just having like our spiritual records removed. We are also blessed when the Lord does not judge us for our sins, when we are counted as righteous and holy because of his atonement, his covering. When we read in verse 2 here about blessed is the person whose sins are not counted against them. The type of counting here is how, goes back to Genesis, how the Lord reckoned Abraham as righteous. It's that type. God looks at us and sees not sinfulness, but righteousness. So we see forgiveness of sins framed as a positive blessing. So logically, the opposite must also be true. If we refuse to fully confess our sins and seek forgiveness, there can be no blessing. We can also cannot deceptively say that we have no sin or try to verbally justify our dark natures. We must be honest about ourselves before Adonai, who knows all. God doesn't get surprised by our sin. But this is a struggle, something we all struggle with as fallen human beings. We are reluctant to admit our sins, or if we do, there's always a but, a justification, an excuse. There is an old saying that I think is true for most of humanity. We judge ourselves by our motives and others by their actions. For others, we are very quick to judge and identify their sin. Even in society, right? When something happens in the news, everybody's very quick to jump on the bandwagon and pile on somebody. But when it comes to turning that same laser focus inward, suddenly everything is different. We may intellectually and verbally play games with our sinful and rebellious natures, but they don't go away. We can't talk our way out of sin. Our sinfulness slowly consumes our lives. It poisons our thinking, ruins our relationships, and can cause us deep physical, emotional, and spiritual suffering. King David experienced this as well when he refused to acknowledge his own sins. Verse 3, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer, Selah. When David was silent about his sin, he did not experience blessing, but instead experienced suffering. Now, deceptive and clever philosophies would try to tell you this is not true. They'll say you can live your life on your own terms, how you want, when you want, and it will all be fine in the end. In fact, this is the secret to blessing, radical self-love. You would think, though, with all the billions of dollars, millions of hours, and thousands of programs dedicated to this thinking, there would be more to show for it. I have yet to see the cultural shift towards blessing and peace and worldwide understanding that all these schemes seem to promise. But I'm sure we can have faith that whatever new fad comes out next month, maybe hawked by a celebrity or a politician or just somebody in the news, that's when we'll get it right. It's right around the corner. You just got to have faith. Really, though, the mental health crisis we are having in our so-called enlightened Western societies exposes the real truth of this lie. You just need to look around you. Now, King David describes his suffering as all-encompassing. Every day and every night is terrible. His issues followed him around relentlessly without escape. You know, many of us try to escape our sins and problems with entertainment, TV shows, movies, games, other people. We have an endless number of distractions to keep us from confronting the real issues of our lives. You know, a lot of people like to talk about our current society as 1984. You know, that's like the hot thing to say. They just need to get better read. It's not 1984. It's Brave New World. And if you've read the Brave New World book, then you know that the way society is sort of kept in check is through pleasure, through distraction. But eventually, it all comes back to us. It always comes back. Sin relentlessly steals our joy and strength, just like King David experienced. You know, for many of us, it's at night. It's interesting that King David makes sure to say both day and night he suffers. For many of us, it is at night when we're laying in bed alone with our hearts and minds that we can't escape from ourselves. King David also felt the presence of the Lord in his life. Remember, King David's a believer. Even in this moment, he believes in God. He knows who God is. But he's experiencing God's presence not in a positive or comforting way. The hand of the Lord was not one of comfort for him, but of conviction. You know, there are many reasons why we suffer. And it's important to emphasize here that we should not link every type of suffering to unrepentant sin. There's a whole laundry list of reasons in Scripture. However, one of the reasons why King David is suffering right now is because of unrepentant sin. And this type of suffering and conviction is used to cause us to turn away from our distractions and instead to turn towards the Lord, which is what King David eventually decides to do. Verse 5, then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. There's covering again. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. Selah. Pause. Finally, King David was finished running and denying his sin. You know, we don't know how much time there was between verses 4 and 5 here. There is perhaps a gap theory here of there's probably a period of time between them. A little Bible joke there. But it was probably a bit of time. This didn't happen overnight. But finally, enough was enough. He acknowledged his sin through confessing it to the Lord and was relieved of his guilt and his suffering. Now, notice that this verse says King David stopped covering up his sin. The Hebrew word here is kasah, which usually means to cover, conceal, or hide something away. Yet in verse 1, this is the same word to describe how the Lord covers our sins by forgiving them. So there's a clear contrast here in this psalm between how we try to cover our sins and how the Lord accomplishes this. You know, we are all trying to deal with our own issues, rebellion and sins in different ways. Our human desire to heal our brokenness, though, usually manifests in a way of denying, deflecting, or diffusing it. When we start poking our stuff, we want to run and hide away. And when other people start poking our stuff, we're going to snap at them or try to deal with them and get them away from us. We try to deceive ourselves and those around us that our sins are not that severe. I'm not Hitler. I'm not Stalin. I'm not Trump, I'm not Biden. I'm not that bad of a person. Or that we can handle it on our own with other broken human beings. I just need my community. I just need some people around me. I just need my best friends. I need my spouse. I need my parents. As long as I have them in my life, I can deal with anything. You know, there's a concept in modern Judaism I mention a lot called tikkun olam, that human beings can repair the world. But when it comes to sin, our society seems to practice tikkun adam, the belief that we can heal humanity, that we can heal ourselves. And again, We only need to glance at the world around us, our own lives, our own families, to see how that's going. So we try to cover our own sins in various ways, and then we fail to reach real blessing and joy. But God's word through Psalm 32 shows us a better way to be covered. If we are willing to uncover our sins, even our secret sins, to the light of God's presence, then we will receive a real covering for them. We receive the forgiveness that is only found in the Lord. It's a beautiful truth, almost paradoxical, that only through exposing our sins to the Lord, who already knows them, that we can receive blessing, peace, and a clean conscience. Verse 6. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Selah. The picture painted in these verses is imagining mighty waters, a large flood, maybe like during the time of Noah, coming for us, rushing waters. You know, there's been a lot of flooding in the United States this last month. Entire cities have been sort of swept away, you know, like foots of water, homes destroyed. You know, water is powerful. Imagine rushing waters coming at you. What can we do? Well, like an ark, the Lord hides us and protects us from the sinfulness of this life. When we have experienced, only Adonai can deliver us from the trauma and troubles of this life. And when we have experienced the peace of God, true shalom, wholeness, completeness, beyond our present circumstances, we can endure with song our life in this world. That's the real solution. So the conclusion reached here is straightforward. We must change our rebellious hearts, giving them to the Lord and turning towards him in prayer. We like to imagine we have an unlimited amount of time to do so, but life is short and moves faster every day. And for all of us, there will be a day that our lives come to an end. Pray to you while you may be found. We continue on, verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. So this final Selah moves us from King David's perspective here in the Psalm. We've been kind of looking at this from King David's perspective through the Holy Spirit to the perspective of God. A message he has for each one of us. The Lord offers us real wisdom for how we are to live our lives. We have already seen this wisdom displayed in this wisdom psalm so far. When we experience the Lord's forgiveness, his presence also changes in our lives. The presence of the Lord that was so heavy in verse 4 on King David, when our sins were still being hidden, is now a loving presence. Transformation has taken place. We're encouraged not to be stubborn, like a mule or a horse. This is good advice because we are stubborn, like mules and like horses. I'm a very stubborn person. You can ask anybody who knows me. I see some nods from some people. I know who you are, and we'll be talking later. But I am a stubborn person. And I get myself into trouble plenty of times because of my stubbornness. We're encouraged here not to be like the horse or the mule. Now, this might offend some people, but animals are not made in God's image and do not have wisdom to understand their lives like we can. Our cute dogs, cats, and other animals can seem human at times, but they're not. Animals must sometimes be controlled in a very forceful and heavy way. Think of any time you've ever had to take an animal to the doctors, a vet, or maybe giving them a bath when they do not want it. They will fight you tooth and nail many times, right? But it's in their best interest. They need those shots. They need not to smell like poop, right? We got to take care of them, you know, kind of like toddlers. But it's the same thing in the sense with animals, right? They don't have understanding. They don't understand that this is in their best interest. They just see it as needless suffering for no purpose. But when you have a different perspective, you can understand it differently. Now, here's the truth. God's will be accomplished whether we are willing or not. Yes, we have a level of free will, but our will never trumps God's will. There is no battle between him and us, okay? You don't get to win against God. If you want to try, I have a whole book you should read about what happens when you do. No power in heaven or on earth can stop the Lord. When we refuse to acknowledge our sins, though, and receive the blessings that come with it, we are instead guided by suffering, like King David experienced. Now, our psalm concludes with a final declaration of truth and encouragement. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. Kind of sounds like a proverb. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. And so this is really the summation. If you want a life with less suffering, not suffering free, but with unnecessary suffering, then you must place your trust in the Lord. Adonai's unfailing love, his loving kindness, surrounds and protects all those who have placed their trust in him. It is suffering, confusion, and death that surrounds those who refuse him. Now, for those of us who have placed our trust in the Lord, we can rejoice. We can shout for joy because we have been washed clean and can stand upright, properly, without guilt before the Lord. Now, I need to acknowledge the fact that we do not live in the days of King David. We are blessed to be on the other side of Messiah Yeshua's life, death, and resurrection. But human nature is the same as it was during the days of King David. He's not so different from us. Each of us deals with sin and suffering in this dark world and the conviction that comes from it. The lesson from the wisdom of Psalm 32 is different depending on where we are right now in our lives, where we find ourselves in this psalm. Now, if you're someone who has yet to put their faith in the Lord through Messiah Yeshua, if you have yet to experience all the blessings that come from his covering, then today is the day to make a change and turn towards the Lord, to set those distractions and futile attempts aside. As we read this morning, we need to pray to the Lord while he still may be found. The invitation to experience the peace of the Lord is available to all, but the time is not endless. If you have reached the end of trying to heal yourself, trying to apply new age, postmodern, fad-based spiritual schemes to your life with nothing worthwhile to show for it, then make it this day to experience the end of the psalm. Make it this day to experience the unfailing love that leads to rejoicing found only in Messiah Yeshua. And you're surrounded in this room by a lot of people who can testify to that fact in their lives. For those who are part of Messiah's community, part of the faithful like King David, those who resonate with his struggle to confess sin, then I also encourage you today to bring the sins and issues in your life before our Heavenly Father in prayer. Now, it is good and often appropriate to confess our sins to one another, but you don't need a priest and you don't need a rabbi to find forgiveness. You don't need to be in a little box with somebody. Forgiveness is found only in the Lord, who has freely given us access through Messiah Yeshua. We read this promise in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Notice the word all in that sentence. The Lord already knows our sins and failings. Even our secret sins are shown to the light of his presence. We read that in Psalm 90, my favorite psalm. But we also read this in 1 John 1:8, the previous verse to that promise. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now, one of the works of Satan is to accuse us, to encourage us to hide our sins in shame, and to deceive ourselves, and to deceive one another. Now, if you're in a season where the groaning of King David resonates with you, then I encourage you to follow in his footsteps and confess whatever is burdening your heart to the Lord, to unburden yourself and not be led by the bit and brittle in this life. Finally, if you're in a season where you're actively and freely bringing all things before the Lord, then let me encourage you, as this psalm does, to rejoice. You know, there are many reasons why we suffer, and we may be suffering right now for various reasons. And there is plenty around us to make us feel discouraged. However, we have a king who grants us peace, true shalom beyond our circumstances. We need to remember that there is unfailing love surrounding us, that we serve a God who loves us enough to not leave us where we are, a heavenly Father that wants each of us to grow in holiness and in our walk with him. And we also need to be willing to share this message of hope in a lost and dying world, that the solution to the woes of this life is found in ending our rebellion and confessing our sins by faith through Messiah Yeshua. We need to share with others the real wisdom found in God's word, because there's a lot of competing truths and they're packaged real well. More than intellectual answers. You know, I like to think of myself as intellectual. I like to read all sorts of really deep and interesting philosophical books. Let me tell you, people need more than intellectual answers. People need to know that there is a real solution to the human condition, that it's not found in crystals or convoluted schemes, that aliens are not going to come down and save us. Our brokenness is only healed by our perfect Creator, who is available right now, today, to protect, keep, and redeem us. I am thankful each day that the Lord is adding more to his kingdom that are turning their woes into rejoicing. May each of us have the willingness to bring all our sins before the Lord and find complete forgiveness and release. May we experience the blessings that come with redemption and avoid needless suffering from trying to cover our own failings. May each one of us rejoice in the unfailing love of the Lord that sets us free from sin that so easily entangles us. Thank you.